Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we start our program by talking with you about honey. You know, this morning I did my 2.5 mile jog and I was feeling really healthy. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to make a smoothie. And I looked in the refrigerator and I had a cucumber, I had a lemon, I had some broccoli, and I had one Granny Smith apple, and I threw them all in the Vitamix and along with some juice. And when it was, when I had it blended, took a sip, and it just did not taste the way I wanted it to taste. So right there handy, I had some honey, and I mixed a little bit of honey in the mixture and turned the Vitamix back on, and voila, I had myself a pretty good drink. And I thought immediately thought of Sue Doden, because she's our guest. She is the author of Homemade with Honey. She's a popular cooking instructor, food writer. She's the host of Good Food, Good Life 365 on Lakeland Public Television in Minnesota. And again, the author of Homemade with Honey. And the creativity she brings to healthy cooking for family and friends, I think it's enhanced by the fruits from that backyard hive. And she joins us today from the studios of Minnesota Public Radio in Bemidji. And Sue Doden, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio with you and your listeners, Larry. Thank you for asking me.
Well, I don't know. What'd you think of my idea of throwing a little honey in that smoothie?
I am with you. Honey in a smoothie is awesome. And depending on where the bees foraged when they were producing that honey, it will give your smoothie that extra little flavor that really adds a lot of sweetness and really good health benefits too. So you're right on adding it to a smoothie. I'm with you.
Well, I really enjoyed it then, and I was able to, I've got about a glass left in the refrigerator that will be consumed when I get home tonight. And I want to give our listeners a chance to join in as we talk here. Do you cook with honey? What's your favorite way to enjoy honey? Maybe you prefer the light or the dark honey, or does it depend on how you're using it? Love to hear how you use honey. And any questions that you might have, call us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on our Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Post your questions or comments there. I know you're going to enjoy taking a look at Homemade with Honey by Sue Doden, our guest today. And again, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You came to beekeeping relatively recently. Tell us about that.
You're right. Yeah, this will be my fourth season of beekeeping, so I consider myself a real novice. It's a learning process, and I do my beekeeping with a friend. We're partners with three hives this year. We've been alternating between two and three hives each season. We just picked up our new batch of bees for our three hives on Saturday, and so we're excited for a new season. But yeah, I mean, I am just really a novice when it comes to beekeeping.
Well, you write with a real sense of wonder. I think it's you're a nice writer.
Thank you.
You talk about how bees do what they do, and maybe describe what goes into them making honey.
It really is miraculous, and I've learned so much about how bees make honey since I've become a beekeeper. It's so fascinating. First of all, when we pick up our bees, typically, well, there's two ways you can get the bees, either in a packaged box with maybe, I think the people at Man Lake Bee Supply in Hackensack, Minnesota told me there's about 8,000 bees in the box, mm-hmm. and you bring it back to your hive. The queen is also in the box with the bees, and you put them into your hives when you get back to your bee yard. And the other way is by picking them up with your own boxes that you have along. So the bottom box of your beehive you bring along, you take out four of those frames that hang in the boxes mm-hmm. for the bees to work on. And you get 4 frames full of bees with one queen, and they put them right into your bee box. So the first year we did that, and that's called nukes. So you get, here they say we get about a 3-week head start with our bees and our honey production. And so the first year we did that, and then the last 2 years we've used boxed bees. And this year we decided to go back to the nukes and try the nukes again. And so once the bees are in the box and the queen gets busy laying eggs, and the bees start foraging. And this is what's so amazing, because bees, well, first of all, their body is designed with 4 wings. Mm-hmm. And they will fly those little wings, like, I've read 25,000 times a minute, their wings, like, flap, flap, flap. And they will fly anywhere from 2 to 5 or 6 miles to forage. And they make several trips back and forth to the hive. They have this special little honey tummy, or a little pouch under their abdomen that collects the nectar. And as soon as that nectar gets into that little pouch, right away the enzymes start working on that and breaking down the sugars. And you might not believe this, Larry. This is just miraculous to me. But one bee will make only about 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey in its lifetime. And honeybees, the worker bees, only have a lifespan of about 2 to 3 weeks. And they die of exhaustion. I mean, their wings work so hard. And so when you see honey in the store or in the farmers markets, the local honey, you really have a new appreciation for honey when you realize how hard these poor little creatures are working to make honey.
Yeah, it's an absolute amazing process. And for you, has it been fun to raise bees?
Oh my gosh, it is so fun. I didn't really know what I was getting into. I became kind of infatuated with honey at the farmers markets, and I started visiting with beekeepers at the farmers market, and it sounded kind of romantic to me, and I just thought, oh, it would be so cool to have my own honey from my hardworking bees. And I thought about it for a while, and I live in the woods, and I just didn't think there'd be enough sun, because bees love sun. They like to wake up to the sunshine in the morning, and I just had too much shade on my property. So lo and behold, a friend of mine and her husband bought this wonderful piece of property only 3 miles from my house, and they bought it specifically to have a huge vegetable garden, and they wanted to have fruit trees. And as soon as she told me they bought this property, I drove right over to look at it because I wanted to see if it would be a perfect spot for bees. And I figured it would if they were going to have gardens and fruit trees. So I went over there, and I thought, oh my gosh, I think this could be the spot. So I asked my friend and her husband if they would allow me to have a hive on their property. And I was so excited about it that my friend said, you know what, I think I want to do this with you. And it's been wonderful. So we do the beekeeping together. And I think what surprised me the most about beekeeping is that every season I fall in love with my bees. They're just like my little furry little babies.
And you have done, and one of the things, you've got a wonderful introduction. You have a wonderful, to my mind, cookbook here that is part of, I don't know, probably 2/3 of your book at least is recipes. And there are some wonderful recipes, and I want to get to them, but we have callers, and we have lots of people online who want to visit with you. So I would like to go to the phones first, and then we'll get back to that. But Benny in Oak Creek has question. Hi, Betty.
Oh, I'm so happy you're having her on, because I have so many questions. And also, I have a farmer, honey farmer, that I get my honey from. I've been getting it now for about 3 years, and it has my arthritis in my hands and my back was so bad. And then I started using honey, and I do use cinnamon too on my toast, but I cook with honey as much as I can. But I would like recipes, which I got her book now. I wrote down, I'm going to get her book. But my son lives in northern Minnesota outside of Two Harbors, and he's so allergic to pollen and that, but I've been getting him honey that it's you know, not natural honey, mm-hmm. and it has helped him. So I'm looking for a spot, somebody where he could find honey up there around Two Harbors as well.
Oh, well, I don't know if Sue's going to be able to help with that. Maybe. What do you think, Sue?
Oh, Betty, I am so happy to hear that you use local honey and that you cook and bake with honey. That's so good to hear. And, you know, honey does have a lot of healing properties. And if your son in Two Harbors is looking for some local honey, he might check at if there's a local food co-op in his area. He could check there because oftentimes they will carry honey from the local beekeepers. Or he could go online to the University of Minnesota Extension or, Minnesota Local Grown. And usually, even if he has a local farmer's market, which the farmer's markets here in Minnesota will be starting up really soon, and he might be able to find local honey right there at his farmer's market.
Good, because if you can find honey in your locale, it helps your allergies more, right?
Yes, that's what they say. Yes,
that's exactly what they say. Betty, thank you so much for calling. I'm glad you were able to get through. I want to give Mike and Madison a chance to join us too. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I have two words: garlic honey.
Garlic honey. Wow.
You take 8 or 10 cloves of garlic, mince them up. Put them in the bottom of a half-pint jar, fill the jar with honey, crank the lid on, set it in a south-facing or west-facing window, and the sun heats it up, and throughout the month you'll see the striations of garlic juice permeate the honey, and at the end of the month you have garlic honey. And it sounds weird, but I'm telling you, you glaze a ham or a chicken with that. Whoa! You've done something.
Oh, Mike, that sounds so amazing. You know, I've never done that with... I love garlic, and I love honey and garlic together. In fact, in my book, I do have a suggestion for mixing honey and minced garlic and drizzling it over some ricotta cheese or even some brie. It's just delicious that way. But I love infusing the honey with actual garlic. And so it takes about a month, huh? Is that what you said?
It takes about a month, yeah. And, you know, the thing is like if you buy some say, off-the-shelf barbecue sauce, add some garlic honey to it, oh, my God, you've got gourmet barbecue sauce. You're making something even really plebeian, like 7-bean salad. Instead of adding sugar to the vinegar, add garlic honey. Once you have it, you'll come up with a million uses for it. And apparently it also makes a good cough syrup. So.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like you've got a new business in the making there.
Yeah, you better stay listening, Mike, because later on, John Ivanko will be on as the author of Homemade for Sale, How to Set Up a Market and Food Business from Your Home, from Your Home Kitchen. So you better stay listening. But that's a great idea, isn't it?
Oh, that's an awesome idea.
Oh, man. Sue Doden, our guest today. He's a popular cooking instructor, food writer, and host of Good Food, Good Life 365 on Lakeland Public Television in Minnesota, and is the author of Homemade with Honey. Great having her on, and I certainly hope you'll join in. Questions or comments, give us a call. Maybe you've got some experience to share with cooking with honey. I'd love to hear it. 1-800-642-1234. Again, it's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Jennifer Dargan, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking about bees and about the book Homemade with Honey, written by Sue Doden. It's a wonderful book filled with wonderful recipes of a whole variety of ways to use honey in pretty much everything from main courses to desserts and you name it. You can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Chris from Wisconsin Dells called and said she uses brown sugar in her barbecue sauce. If she switches to honey, will it still caramelize like the brown sugar does? So what do you think, Sue?
Yes, it definitely does caramelize. Actually, honey is sweeter than sugar, and it browns very fast. So you may even have to watch it a lot more closely than you would if you were using the brown sugar, because it will caramelize really fast. Sometimes when I'm grilling and using a honey glaze, I wait more toward the end to brush that glaze on so that it doesn't burn.
You know, I was one of the recipes that I thought, you know what I'm going to try, because I like to brine things, and you have a honey brined turkey breast in your recipe in your book. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to try that. And you, I think you say in that particular recipe that you wind up with a nice dark breast.
Yes.
From the brine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the honey will do that. It really gives nice color.
Well, that brine sounds good to me. So, and by the way, we have some links. Well, we have some recipes posted from Sue's book. So she was very generous to give us some recipes that we posted up on our Facebook page. So you can go to the Larry Mueller Show for that. And she has one for breakfast cookies, another one for smoked paprika shrimp with an avocado lime dip. How's that sound? So lemon honey and herbs cooler as well. So three different recipes. I hope you'll go online and take a look at them. And while you're there, of course, you'll see we have a link to her book and how you can get the book. And it's pretty much available. Any local bookstore can order it. Or how do you recommend?
Yeah, I most bookstores will have the book, and if they don't have the book, they can certainly order it for you. And it's available online, too, and through the Minnesota Historical Society Press, which is the publisher of the book.
Yeah, it's great to support that press as well. It's a wonderful press, and many good books from that. I've interviewed many authors from that.
Aww.
For that particular press. That's great. Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Those are a couple of great presses. And I wanted to go to one other question from Denise from Amory. Wondered, how do you dissolve honey in cold liquids?
Well, that's a little bit tricky. First of all, you want to make sure that you're using liquid honey and not honey that's already crystallized a little bit. And you know, Larry, a lot of times people think that once their honey starts to crystallize, they need to throw it out because they can't use it anymore. And that isn't true, but you definitely wouldn't be able to dissolve it in cold water. So I guess I'm not exactly sure what purpose she has for dissolving it in cold water. Even in the lemon honey and herbs cooler that's on your website, in that recipe, you do serve the beverage cold, but you first mix that honey up with the warm water so that it really dissolves well. And then when you chill it, it's been, you know, dissolved into the water, so you don't have to worry about it anymore. But it is a little tricky. You'd probably have to just whisk away until that honey dissolved the way you wanted it to. But I would suggest using either room temperature or water that's been warmed up a little bit first.
Of course, I had cold in my smoothie this morning, but you put it in a Vitamix, the honey.
Right.
Pour
the
Vitamix along with the rest of the mixture in it. It was no problem.
Yep, the Vitamix will take care of it, or any blender, really.
Sure, of course. Sarah in Wauwatosa, thanks a lot for joining us. Hi.
Hello. My question is, oddly enough, my friend yesterday asked me what I knew about beehives, because apparently her neighbor is thinking about getting a beehive and doing the whole beekeeping thing. And so I tried to give her whatever information I have, that, you know, bees are kind of nice, they're different than wasps and hornets, but I'm wondering if you have any other info that I can give her to ease her mind that her kids in the yard will be okay with this hive next door.
Oh, sure. I understand what you're saying, Sarah. You know, honeybees are such docile little bees, and they don't want to hurt anyone, and they don't like to sting. The only time they really would sting is if they feel like they need to defend themselves or defend the hive. And so if the hives are put in an area that isn't near to where the children will be playing, it shouldn't really be a problem. You know, the only time that they get angry is if you walk right up to the front of the hive and, you know, they are alerted that there's something that's going to hurt them, then the bees will be on the defense. But they don't. In fact, I remember the first beekeeping class I went to before I became a beekeeper. One of the ladies in the class said, oh, yes, yeah, she said, I let the little honeybees land on my finger and I just pet their furry little body. And I thought, oh, my gosh, because I was like your friend, Sarah. I was scared to death of bugs, any kind of bugs. And so it just was an outlandish thing for me to even think about doing, you know, beekeeping. But really, you just learn to move slowly when you're at the beehive and stay calm and stay, do all your work, open up the hives from the back of the hive. And like I said, just have the hives positioned somewhere that isn't close to where the children will be playing, and it should be fine.
Should be fine, yeah.
Yes.
They're certainly not going to be searching out kids.
No, yeah, not at all.
Yeah. As long as the kids don't search out them, I think they should be fine.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think so,
right,
too.
Sarah. Thank you for calling.
All right.
Appreciate the call. Jerry in Waukesha, it's your turn. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. I just had two quick comments. I received some food as a gift one time, and they had a container of lime honey in there, and I can't remember where it was from. And I resisted using it for a long time. It didn't sound appealing to me. And then I finally broke down and tried it, and it was absolutely terrific and delicious. And then one other thing, I was trying to get away from using sugar, like white sugar and granulated sugar and things. So, and I like using a breakfast cereal in the morning, and I started using ordinary honey on my breakfast cereal rather than sugar. And it actually works out really well, and you don't need a lot of it. Like sometimes you might take a whole spoonful of sugar and put it on. You don't need nearly as much honey on your cereal to make it work out good. It's absolutely delicious. Give that a try.
Yeah, thanks for the tips. Was the lime honey, was it lime infused so that it had a real...
I think they used real lime juice in addition to some artificial flavoring, but it tasted not really heavy and strong, but it just had enough lime flavor to it, and with the sweetness of the honey, it was absolutely delicious.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
there are so many flavored honeys showing up on the market, and they're all really fun to try. But Jerry, if you like honey on your cereal in the morning, I think you'd love the granola recipe that's in Homemade with Honey. It has a whole cup of honey in it, and it's wonderful. I think you'll love it.
Oh, I haven't looked. I haven't seen that one yet. I didn't know.
Honey and Oats granola. It's a favorite with everyone.
I'm gonna dig that one out for sure. Jerry, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate the call. Sue Doden, our guest today, she is the author of Homemade with Honey, having a lot of fun talking with her about her book and about honey, of course, and about ways that you can prepare honey. Why don't you summarize for us how your book is organized and what you've got in it?
Oh, sure. Well, you'll find everything from appetizers to desserts, everything in between, and everything has from just a little bit of honey to a whole lot of honey. And I've included recipes that will appeal to the novice cook, someone who doesn't have a lot of experience in the kitchen but loves to try new recipes, and then also the more experienced cook who likes some new challenges and likes to try some new ingredients. And so I think that, you know, the recipes will appeal to everyone. The first section is, sips, starters. Well, actually, I'm going to open up my book right here because it's organized a little bit differently. Sips, starters, and snacks is the first section, and then it moves to bread and breakfast and salads and soups and sides, and then the main event, which are the entrees, and it ends with all the sweet stuff, all the sweet, delicious, wonderful desserts and snacks.
Oh, yeah, and there's some really good-looking recipes in there. There's, you know, just on the sort of the heartier side, in your soups and salads and soups and sides, the hearty wild rice salad, it just sounded so, it's just full of nutty wild rice and beans, and oh my goodness, it sounded good.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Larry? That is a wonderful salad to take to potluck picnics during the summer.
Well, that's because what I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing in it that you have to worry about being out at room temperature. And it really is a meal in a bowl because of the beans, the wild rice. Yeah, it's a delicious salad. And it's easy to make.
And one other one that, because we're right in rhubarb season, the rosemary and honey-infused rhubarb dream. And I thought, oh my gosh, yeah. Does this sound good?
Yeah, rhubarb. Those, you know, and you're right. I'm just seeing on Facebook, people are starting to post pictures of the rhubarb that they're harvesting from their gardens. And so if you have rhubarb, you need to try that recipe. It's just kind of like a shortbread crust, and it's got this wonderful filling. And you know, that sweet, tart rhubarb with the honey. Mm. There's another rhubarb recipe too in there, the roasted rhubarb.
Oh, you see, now that one I didn't go over the ingredients for that one.
Yeah, that one is so easy to put together. You bake it or roast it in the oven, and it's delicious and handy to have in the fridge because it's wonderful on ice cream, pound cake. You can put it with your strawberry shortcake. It's got a lot of good uses.
Stop,
it's delicious.
Stop.
I know. I'm getting hungry too.
Oh, man. Sue Doden, our guest today, talking about her book, Homemade with Honey. Join in at 1-800-642-1234. Maybe you've got a way that, an interesting way to prepare or to use honey. Love to hear from that, about that. Or maybe just have a question. Again, 1-800-642-1234. We had Christine on Facebook who says, have you ever had honey made just from rosemary blossoms? I was in Arizona recently and the rosemary bushes were covered with honeybees. Oh, would that be good?
That would be so good. I've never had a rosemary honey, but it sure would have a wonderful flavor and would be so delicious with anything savory, really.
Yeah, and it really is. Depending on where the bees are gathering their honey, as you know, the flavor really of the honey can be quite different depending on where they are.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Larry. Wherever the bees go to forage for their nectar will influence the aroma or, you know, the fragrance of the honey, the color of the honey, and for sure the flavor of the honey.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what makes it so interesting to be cooking and baking with honey, because depending on what honey you use, it will always taste a little bit different.
Yeah, it's always going to be a little different, yeah. A caller who couldn't stay online asked if you planted special plants or flowers for your bees, but you were describing a little earlier, maybe really describe again your situation.
Where my beehives are, there's lots of clover, and bees love wild clover. Yeah. And they also love dandelions. So if you're tempted to go out and start digging up your dandelions, just leave them there a little bit longer, because the bees just love dandelions. And you would love dandelion honey. Dandelion honey is delicious. But there are, you know, certain flowers that are more bee-friendly than others, more the flat flowers that are easy for them to collect pollen and sip out the nectar. And if you ask at the nursery wherever you buy your flowers every year, they will have ideas for you on what bee-friendly flowers grow well in your area. And if you have a vegetable garden, all the blossoms of your vegetables are bee-friendly. So... yeah, I think, you know, if you have any questions, ask your local nursery.
Eric in Madison, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I had a question if your guest could comment on bee pollen or even royal jelly as far as a really nutritional supplement. If she had any comments on that, it's not really directly honey related, but I've taken bee pollen in the past and from the local pharmacy or organic pharmacy, and so I was just wondering if she has any thoughts on that.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. I can't really speak specifically about the power of bee pollen, but I do know that it is available in, you know, places that sell natural supplements. A lot of times people use bee pollen for the health benefits. I've never used it, and so it's not really something that I can speak on.
There we go. Thanks, Eric. Paul in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Hey, I've been doing bees for like 7 years, and my toughest thing is to keep the bees during the winter months.
Oh.
They'll make it to March or something like that, and then you open them up and they're dead.
I know. It's so disheartening, isn't it, Paul? We've tried to winter our bees, and of course, you're in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, Appleton.
Yeah. I mean, same. You probably have the same kind of issues that we do here in northern Minnesota, but maybe your winters are a little milder. Bees just weren't made for really cold climates, and no matter how hard we try, it just seems like they either die of starvation or they freeze to death. I know, it's so disheartening. Yeah, it's really sad.
Yeah, and there's you wind up having to start over every year, or just about every year.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Paul, thanks a lot for calling. And are there other sites that you can... there are beekeepers associations, I would guess.
Yeah.
Most
states have a beekeepers association. You can go, you know, just Google that online and hook up with your local beekeepers. And a lot of times communities have their own little beekeeping groups that meet maybe once a month and help support each other. I know for myself, it's wonderful to have a mentor when you get into beekeeping. One thing I wished I would have done before I started with the bees is to actually work with a beekeeper for one season before I went off on my own, because that would have been so helpful. My partner and I, we were just kind of the blind leading the blind. We didn't really know what we were doing. But the other nice thing is that, you know, your local technical colleges, community colleges, universities often offer beekeeping classes or maybe community education. So it's another great resource to use and even for people who have been doing beekeeping for more than a year or two. I mean, I still go to classes and you learn something all the time. The last meeting I was at with some beekeepers, one person said, you know what? You can ask 12 beekeepers the same question, and you'll get a different answer from all 12 of those beekeepers. Yeah, so everybody has kind of their own way of doing things, but it's an interesting hobby.
Kathy in Arborvita, your turn. Hi, Kath.
Hi. I'm glad you have me on. I've been using honey in my hot drinks for I can't count the years. When I was off of caffeine or coffee, I was, I still do green tea with honey, and I warm that up and dissolve it, and that's wonderful. But I do my own lattes, and it's better than any latte I get. Usually I get the vanilla with the vanilla flavor lattes, but when I do every morning, I have coffee now, and I do my warm milk and honey. And then I add my coffee, and sometimes I add a little cinnamon. But it depends on the honeys I get for the flavors, and it's just wonderful.
Oh,
great way to start the day, that's for sure. Oh, that's wonderful.
Thanks for that, yeah. Kathy. That was
And Kathy, I should tell Kathy. I should tell Kathy, too, that there's a recipe in the book. I think she would just love that hint of honey hot mocha that's made with honey and a little bit of cocoa if you like chocolate and some espresso powder. Oh. Another great way to start the day.
Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, take a look at this book, Homemade with Honey. Tammy in Onalaska, what have you got for us?
Well, I'm a beekeeper, a local beekeeper in the Onalaska area. And I had a really interesting experience with wanting to make homemade ice cream. And, of course, I wanted to use my honey. Well, I wasn't, my science years in high school had been a while, so I wasn't thinking. And I just substituted the honey for the sugar, and of course the cream curdled really bad.
Oh, no.
I'm thinking to myself, what? Oh, that's right. And so I got my mom, who's a beekeeper's wife, on the phone, and I said, Mom, I think I need something to do to fix this. And we got to talking because she had curdled tomato juice one time, and she used baking soda. And I thought, I wonder. So I just have, like, one of those Cuisinart ice cream makers. So it makes, like, a quart and a half of ice cream.
Yep.
And I put about an eighth or a little less than an eighth of a teaspoon of baking soda in my milk and my cream that I've heated up before I add the honey. Now, this is a, well, maybe this is a raw ice cream. It uses raw milk. So I'm not sure. You'd have to tweak it with other recipes. But my ice cream turns out perfect now every time. You know, it's
wow,
wonderful.
That's a little secret, huh? A secret tip.
Yeah.
I'll have to try that sometime.
And anybody who's in the La Crosse or Onalaska area, we've got a phenomenal starter beekeeping classes in the area and a great organization for local beekeepers, too.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it's, I'm sure they're online, probably.
I believe so, yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
It's the La Crosse Area Beekeepers Association.
Thank you, Tammy. You know, there are associations like that, I bet, all around the state. It's a wonderful, wonderful group of people, isn't it?
It is. I've never met a beekeeper I didn't like. They're all such nice, sharing people. They're so willing to help one another with the beekeeping, too. Yeah, they're great people.
And so now your book, it's been out. How's the sales going for the book, by the way?
I think so. Yeah, I think they're going great.
Mary and Marcus Ann wondered, who has a horse with allergies, might honey help a horse?
Boy, that's an interesting question. I've never thought about that. She'll have to try it and let us know. It certainly can't hurt the horse.
No, it's not going to. Yeah, the horse might really like honey.
Yeah. Because don't horses eat sugar cubes?
Yeah, the sugar cubes are, so why not, honey? Why not,
right.
honey?
Right. Yeah, it would be much better for them than the sugar cubes.
So we've got a beekeeper just called to share a tip about overwintering bees. She said to try Russian bees since they need to live through the colder climates. And so that might be something to look into. You know, you get your hands on Russian bees is another question, but certainly something to think about. And, you know, when you're in Minnesota and you're in Wisconsin, it gets a little cold sometimes in the winter. And if the bees are surviving in Russian winters, maybe they can make it through our winters.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, my goodness. Well, this has been a lot of fun, and I'm really happy we've had a chance to talk, and I wish we'd had more time to go through your recipes. You have so many wonderful recipes in your book, Sue, along with some great history and introduction in the beginning. I want to thank you so much for taking time. Maybe we can do this again sometime.
Well, thank you, Larry. This has just been great. I've enjoyed every minute of it. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Goes pretty fast, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. I was so nervous thinking about this. I thought, what? 45 minutes? What? But yeah, you made it very, very pleasant. It was just so much fun.
It was over in a flash. Thank you so much, Sue. And I hope we'll have a chance to do this again. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
Sue Doden is a popular cooking instructor. Isn't she a great personality that comes through? She's a food writer. She's the host of Good Food, Good Life 365 on Lakeland Public Television in Minnesota. She's the author of Homemade with Honey and the creativity she brings to healthy cooking for families and friends is certainly enhanced by the fruits of her backyard hive. Man, oh man, oh man. She's got some, I can't wait to try some of these recipes. And especially that brine. I like brining turkey and turkey breast. So I'm gonna be trying that pretty soon. You know what? We've got a show. Come, you know, if you have honey, if you have bees, it might be that you would be able to sell some of your honey. But how do you set up a market and a food business from your home? You could do that. John Ivanko's done it, and he is coming up next to talk with us. He and his wife, Lisa Kivris, run In Serendipity and Breakfast outside Monroe, Wisconsin. He's got a great new book out titled Homemade for Sale, and we'll talk with him next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.